when we're talking about this whole idea of bullying versus victim, that would, anything that's bullying, what is that? I'm trying to force you to do what I think is right. I'm trying to force you to do what God thinks is right. God doesn't force anyone to do anything. Amen? He doesn't force anyone to do anything. He draws people to himself. He draws people to do what's right in his eyes. Amen? He draws people to himself. So God is not one to shame us. He's not one to put guilt on us. He's not one. He's this really, really loving father. And he also knows where everybody is coming from. See, here's the thing. You can't say, oh, there's some things you would never say because it's unbiblical. You get that? There's some things that are just unbiblical. So no matter how you say it, it's not going to come from the Lord. But there are other things that can be true, that can be true according to God's word, but not spoken in love. Because God knows where everybody is at. That's why you can't be legalistic. You could have two couples in this room tonight, and you could have two people living together who hardly know God at all. And it's not the number one priority on God's list to deal with that. Then you could have two people living together who've been, God's getting a hold of their heart, and they've heard powerful teaching, and God begins to convict, and God could really have you not even just correct them, have them not come back until they're ready to get it right with God. Amen? So the key is Holy Spirit in charge. So you really want to know, what is it that God once said? You know, if you're an enabler and you're codependent, you can't even tell what God wants to say. You are so in fear and so in control and so trying to make everything right and so trying to make everything look right and you look right. You are really so entangled, the Bible says. You're so entangled that you can't even see clearly or hear clearly. Amen? And that's why God wants us to deal with the own issues of our own heart. You will not have a healthy relationship with anybody until you have a healthy relationship with God. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right standing with God. And everything is going to happen. Aren't you glad the gospel's so simple? I mean, sometimes you listen to teaching, and I love all the different gifts, and I really like teaching where they take something simple and complicated, just because I'm amazed at that kind of gifting, that somebody is so articulate that they can study and research and take a simple truth and make it unsimple. And I love that, because then people who are too intellectual to understand simplicity can get saved too and feel good about themselves. Amen. I really do enjoy that gift, because I'm thinking, Lord, look at you. You know, if you're going to go fishing, use different bait for different kind of fish, and use different bait depending what water you're fishing in, and different tools. Amen? So I think God is extremely cool that if he's fishing for intellectuals, he's going to use somebody very intellectual with different bait to catch them. Amen? So I'm not knocking that, but I think it's pretty cool that Jesus rejoiced that God showed these things. And so I just want to encourage you, when you hear teaching that's not simple, don't let the enemy make you think something's wrong with you. Just, if you don't get it, then just say, that's okay, because the gospel's really simple. And if you do get it, then say, well, that's really cool to watch God fishing for smart people. I'm glad I kind of understand it. Amen. And if you don't understand it all, rejoice. I don't have to worry about all that mess. Woohoo! Amen. It's very simple. Jesus said the whole thing in two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. That's not a little thing. The area where your brain doesn't agree with God, you're not loving him with all your soul. The place where you're not in physical health and able to carry the gospel where he wants it to go, and eating correctly and all the things, exercising, you're not loving the Lord your God with all your strength. The areas where you're in bondage, spiritually in bondage, and there's still demonic things going on and oppression and pain and hurt, you are still not able to love him with all your heart. And where you don't, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Soul is going to be, in this situation, more your emotions. If your emotions lead you and everything's emotional and I feel like going here and I feel like being there and you don't love him. If you don't have any emotions, I never cry. you and the wall. Amen? Nobody's going to hurt me again. All those things make so you can't love them with all your soul. All your mind is your thinking. So if you don't know the word, if you're not renewed, if you agree with wrong thinking, then so do you understand when Jesus says that, it's not a little thing. Jesus is actually talking about every single area of your life has to come in complete agreement with him and yield to his spirit for that to even happen. Amen? And then he says, and then after you do that, let's just throw this in so we keep this going deeper than just hanging out with me, the Lord would say. Then that's going to cause you to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, wait a minute. That means I got to love myself. There's two things in this. Until you love God, you can't love yourself. The more you believe him and believe what he says about you and trust him and fall in love with him, you're going to start loving yourself. You're going to love who you are. You're going to love who he made you to be. You're not going to compare yourself. You're not going to be bitter. You're not going to be jealous. You're going to get understanding. Amen? And then you have a vessel full of love for God and yourself that begins to get to the tipping point of overflow, and then you can love everybody else. And can I tell you, you don't love your children, really love them, until you really love God and really love yourself. You cannot love your wife if you do not love yourself. So what's very simple and said in two commandments is actually a very, very big deal. Amen? All ministry flows from getting all of us to know God and want to know God and hungry for God and falling in love with God. So when we buy into self-righteous doctrine and wrong understanding and all these other crazy things and try to please man, manipulate, control, we are doing the opposite of helping people fall in love with Jesus. However, when we teach that Jesus is a big marshmallow and he just winks at sin and he's really, you know, doesn't matter and everybody's going to be, we're lying. And that's not love. It's not love to deceive people and then they go to hell and find out you lied to them. Okay, so God wants us to really look at this. Now, when we look at the victim side of things, people who've been intimidated and bullied, they have an automatic guard. I did something wrong. What am I going to do? And you need to recognize if you've got something that comes up, if somebody just says something, if you've got something that automatically takes what somebody is saying and you think it's against you, you have taken on a demonic mindset and understanding that somebody's attacking you and hurting you. You have been set up strategically to be wounded. Amen? But God's not in that. So you've made it so you become unteachable. Everybody's going to tell me. Or you become an extreme man pleaser. I better say what they want me to say, whether it's what you really believe or feel or not. Amen? So God, only God can set us free from all this. Amen? But the only God is very, it's like only God, not only God. Amen? Wow, only God can set me free from this. Only God can renew a right mind, a right spirit within me and renew my mind. Only God. Amen? So let me tell you, the key thing is to seek after God in his ways, which is seek the kingdom. And then let the Holy Spirit into your life in a real way to change you and turn things around. Lord, we break the power of trying to shame them. And we ask instead, Lord God, that we have hearts to draw them. Draw them to you. So, Father, we come before you and we ask you to break out of our weaponry using shame and guilt. I want you to just see like a trunk in front of you. And in this trunk are the things you've used in life to handle stuff. There's your bullying stuff in there. Whoa! And as you're hiding from the bully stuff in there. Amen? So I want everybody to open their trunk. Somebody make a squeaky sound. Thank you. Whoa. Close your eyes. And I want you to look in your trunk. Quit looking in the trunk at the person beside you. And in your trunk, I'm trying to figure out what shame and guilt would look like. I hear the Lord looking at is devilish wisdom, the Bible says. It's a devilish wisdom to speak something to control somebody. And in the chunk, without you knowing it, whoa, this thing looks really hairy, fuzzy, dark, dark, bat-like creature. Oh no, that one is death. That one's if you ever justified, helped, or in any way supported the murder of anybody. Anybody innocent. If you supported abortion, if you had abortion, if you wanted a miscarry, if you were any way, shape, or form ever deceived with that, and you repented and you don't want anymore, but you never took it out of your treasure chest of things that were okay to do or use, I want you to pull it out right now. There's a big angel beside you to your right. I want you to hand it to him. It's nasty. Ugh. Say, I loose this thing from me. And then I bind it by the angels of God to be taken to the pit for utter destruction. Ha. Wow. Okay. Lord said he wanted that one first because it's worse than the others. If you've never really repented for a part in that, we're all going to say this together. Because some people are kind of new and they wouldn't get it being signaled out. We're not doing that. So together we say, Lord Jesus, thank you for the cross that took away all sin, including murder, even of people's children, even the unborn babies. Father, forgive us for allowing that in our nation, for participating in any way, shape, or form, for hurting the people who needed to be rescued. We ask you to forgive us and to set us free and to heal us and to make us new. In Jesus' name. Okay. Now in the trunk, or treasure chest, bad treasure chest, trunk. I see a whip. Whoa. And it's the same. Pull that out. Oh, they're two different things. Oh. All right, shame. Pull out shame. It's a whip. And it's kind of like, oh, do this because, or you need to do this, or, oh, you didn't do this, or you're so bad because of this. And it belittles somebody. It takes away their dignity. It makes them feel like they have to do something to be as good as you or to be accepted by God. It takes away what Jesus died and paid for their shame. Amen? Took their shame. So there is no shame for believers. There's no shame for believers. And we're never the judge to shame somebody, even if they're not believers. Amen? We're to rescue. We're to bring people to the cross. So I want you to hold your whip up. I just feel the Holy Spirit right now is showing some of you how you've used this with your children, with your spouse, how you even use it on yourself. And you shame yourself. I can't believe I did that. I'm so bad. Well, I have to do this better. I have to do that. And it's bondage. It's bondage that tries to make you go to church. It's bondage that tries to make you tithe. It's bondage that tries to stop. It's bondage that tries to make you do things. It's a spirit of bondage that tries to get you to be holy. How many know bondage is not going to make you holy? Say, Lord Jesus, I don't want this whip. I'm tired of whipping myself. Whoa! I'm tired of whipping my kids and my spouse and my friends and my parents and people I minister to and my and employees and employers. Oh, Lord, I'm tired of this whip. Forgive me, God. It's released deadly poison. It's caused many people to be bitter. It comes from my own bitterness. I want to be free from this. So I renounce using shame and humiliating someone for what they did or didn't do, for threatening someone. Lord, your word says not to be threatening. So forgive me for this. Lord, I give this to you. All right, guilt, it's in there. Guilt is a weapon usually of the victim. It can be a weapon of the bully, but bullies usually shame, and victims usually, people who identify as victims, make people feel guilty. Oh, you're going out tonight and I'm going to be all alone? Are you going to church without me? Oh, I really need that, but I just don't have the money. Well, if you really cared, if you do that again, I just won't be able to handle it. If you don't stay, I don't know how I'm going to do this. It's causing other people to feel responsible for what the devil might do to you. And then you tie that guilt chain around them to make them have to be your rescuer, your savior, the one to take care of you. And if anything happens, it's their fault. You don't usually say it quite that blatantly, but it's using guilt. People can release this guilt weapon without saying a word. Oh, you're going out again? No, I'll be okay. Even if I don't have much money for food, I'll be all right. Is everybody getting it? Amen? Guilt is a spirit that tries to make someone else do what you feel you need them to do instead of trusting God. And it looks like a boomerang because it goes out, grabs the person, and tries to drag them into your life and keep them there. It stops how God is ordering their steps, and the Spirit begins to order their steps, released from your hand. You get what I'm saying? So pick up your boomerangs. Say, Lord Jesus, the steps of a righteous person are ordered of you. I break the power of being ordered by the enemy through guilt and manipulation. And I repent for ever using guilt to try to lead somebody, to cause them to do what I want. Forgive me for all the fear. And I give this to you, Lord, because the steps of a righteous person must be ordered by you. And you are the true master. You're the only Holy Spirit. And I need to trust you. And I would never use these weapons. I ask you to forgive me. Break soul ties where these weapons have formed soul ties. Cleanse every area in my heart and in other people's hearts that the enemy has put these entanglements so that we can have relationship that's led by your Spirit. I thank you, God, for all the good things in my relationships. And with you in charge, they're just going to get better, more free. You're not out to destroy relationships or stop relationships. You want to heal relationships. So I thank you, God, for getting rid of these weapons. Okay, there's another one in there we hadn't talked about yet, but I'm seeing it. Reach in. It's a fiery dart. And it's like those people in those movies where, I don't know what you call it, but you got like a pole, like a live vine kind of thing. And you stick it in and you blow on it and it blows the dart out. What do you call that? Blow dart. Blow dart. Whoa. The enemy sends fiery darts. and they go in and they hit a person who's not protected by the shield of faith. And they slowly go in and put poison or bitterness in that person's heart. And pretty soon, that entry gets roots and it goes deep in. And it begins to cause bitterness towards God, and it defiles many. So and let me say what this, that is words that are spoken in gossip, words that are spoken to judge someone, words that are spoken to control someone, words that are spoken with intention of really being someone's judge or controlling and manipulating someone, belittling someone. So pick up your blow dart. Lord says, grab the whole slew of darts out of there. These are the future darts you were going to send. The others are already. Whoa, somebody's like, oh my gosh. All right, hand the entire pile to the angel. Whoa. Somebody got to dip back in and get more. There was a lot of intention the enemy had planned for what you were going to say. All right, grab the pole. All right, got it? Bust it over your knee. Hand that to the angel. Whoa. Father, in the name of Jesus, we repent for having this treasure chest of weapons of the enemy. We renounce them. We want nothing to do with them. We thank you for setting us free. For anything else you're going to show us, we're ready to get rid of it in the same way. We don't want anything from the enemy. Now, Lord, we ask you to heal us from the fiery darts that got inside of us, because we were throwing fiery darts, so the shield of faith didn't protect us. So we ask to be delivered and healed from every one of those. Lord, we ask you to go deep, up the roots of any place of bitterness where that lie got in very deep and it began to bring death and poison and anger, and it made us feel like a bully or a victim or a combination of both. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to show us these areas of bitterness and deliver us from them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I still see that treasure chest there, so I want to take the whole, amen, because it's not our treasure, right? So lift up it, hand it to the angel. Whoa. Tell it to take it away. And only if God brings it back to get something else out do we even want to think about it again. Amen? Whoa. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I just see the Holy Spirit pouring out in this room to fill you up with his presence where you just got unfilled with some of the other mess. Amen? And I just feel the presence of God. Lord, we just thank you. God, we thank you for the anointing to break the yoke. Lord, we thank you for truth that will set us free. God, we thank you that it's for freedom that you set us free. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to deal with every area of our heart. And we give you praise for that because you are the sanctifier and the healer and the comforter. So we give you praise for what you're doing in Jesus' name. And we embrace the divine correction of our Heavenly Father. We embrace it. We embrace divine correction so that we can be made like you. For you are holy. And you're making us holy, and we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm going to share something the Lord had me minister, and I don't think Kimberly won't mind. Kimberly had her gallbladder out, so I'm going to just share. This is kind of cool. She called me with this testimony, and she said, this is so cool, because a lot of people had surgery this. I don't know what it was. It was a BFA surgery month or something in the last 2 months. And and thank God everybody came through them fine. They weren't extremely serious, but still, let's all go after deliverance and healing, amen, and let the doctors keep their knives to themselves, amen. But praise God that God can take care of this stuff. And if we need doctors to do that, then praise God for that too. But anyway, Kimberly had a gallbladder, had to be removed. It's been bothering her for a long time, but she kept putting it off in what I call pretended faith, amen, and just believing for it to disappear. Well, it got so bad she couldn't stop it. And so she had it out. It went fine. The surgery went fine. Everything went fine. And so she just really wanted me to thank everybody and for their prayers. And she said, God is just really done. Then we did inner healing on the phone. And we really I told her to talk with Lisa, who she's going to talk with, because a gallbladder actually takes body. That's the purpose of a gallbladder. And it's called bile, but it takes it out of the body. And so when a gallbladder is infected, it means there's so much bitterness, it can't handle it all. It's really a physical way that your body responds to poison in the body. And so I told her, well, we're going to really have to get the inner healings now, because you don't have another way for your body to handle this. But you should want them anyway, amen? It would be nice to get rid of stuff before we lose body parts, amen? That would be the way of the Lord. It said, don't ask me for a creative miracle so you can fill it up with junk again, amen? But if you need it, God, pray. I remember when Mitchell was sick. I mean, they were going to take out a spleen. They were going to take out a gallbladder. There are all these different things. And every time I get on my face before the Lord, seek the Lord, ask him for answers. Show me what to do for it not to happen. And every time they didn't do it, he didn't lose any body parts. Amen? None of the things the enemy was up to. Not the doctors. The doctors aren't the enemy. They're just, well, in Planned Parenthood they are. But the doctors really aren't the enemy in trying to help people. Amen? They're just seeing real things. Already happened in the body because of spiritual things and soulish things. So by the time they can see it, you had better really hear from God, or you're going to have to go through what they're telling you. And can I tell you something? When something starts to bug you, then it's God trying to tell you to deal with something so it doesn't become something. I'm cool with never having a powerful testimony that God healed me from something. I would just assume God healed me from it before it gets me. Amen? I want to walk in divine health. I want to walk in divine health. That's why healing the brokenhearted places is not a little thing. That's why wait until you have cancer? Why don't you get healed up the bones so you never get cancer? Amen. What, get healed from bitterness, deal with it, so you never have to have your gallbladder taken out. Amen. This isn't judgment. Okay, if you think this is judgment, you don't get us. Get the teaching. We're not going to change who God is and what he paid for and what he did because of how the enemy wins a lot of times in the church. How many know the enemy seems to win in the church as much as he seems to win in the world? How many know that's something wrong with that? How many know it's not God in his word that has an issue or a problem? How many know he's defeated? How many know that leaves us? And thank God, God is the God of you. And so if you have a problem, it is you who has the problem, not your husband, not your children, not your parents, not your boss. There is grace enough from our to get us through every single thing. And that is good news, unless you bought the lie of the victim, because nothing's ever your fault. Amen? It's a freedom, you guys. It's a freedom. It's a freedom in knowing that God is faithful even when I'm not. And his mercy is new every morning. And that he wants to pick us up, clean us off, and say, now let's do this. Let's get the victory. Let me teach you my ways. Let me show you how to not let this happen again. Let me take you to the place of being an overcomer. I think the church ought to focus more on the teaching and overcoming than in all the other stuff we're focused on right now. Amen? We've got to overcome. Some people don't even believe there's anything to overcome. Everything's God's will. It's God's will. Man, you got a messed up God. Quit calling the devil God. Amen? That's sad. I wouldn't want. You think God likes people giving him the credit for what his enemy is doing? I think one of the saddest things is when something happened to someone's child or spouse, and then they are accused of it and put in prison or whatever for it, and they never did it. But wow, some of the things people go through. But we put all that on God. We try to make God into who. There's nothing in his word to back that up. Amen? Read the New Testament. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and draw your conclusions about healing from that. Draw your conclusions about deliverance from that. Draw your conclusions about people, you know, and that spirits can be in them. Amen? And then read the letters. Read the letters and see, well, how is God instructing the church? How is he instructing the believer? Where's the speaking in tongues should not be up for debate. Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, when he came, they spoke in unknown tongues. They were wild. So wild, everybody thought they were drunk. I think the church is way too tame. How many is kind of hard to understand that God is a real live personality, amen? And he really has his own distinct personality, and it's really awesome. And when you let him be who he is, you will fall in love with him. And what he's doing as he's setting us free tonight from this false treasure of weapons of the enemy, he's causing so people can know who he is. Has anybody in here ever heard me excuse sin and say it was okay? Ever? Do you think you ever will? No. Amen? It's not the same as saying that's okay. I'll say it. If you're struggling with something, you're at the right place. You can tell whoever you want. Make sure somebody knows to help you. Amen? If you're struggling, you will get free if you don't grow weary. Amen. If you're faking it and you're a hypocrite and you're living a double life, you won't enjoy this for very long. But maybe I still want you to stay, because eventually maybe his perfect love and the power of God's word will cause you to get free enough to deal with your areas of sin so you can get free. Amen. Amen. You're all scared to talk. Then she'll think I'm talking about me and everything. Anyhow. So God wants us, as we're letting him heal us and sanctify us and make us holy, and I encourage you to get into the word. We have on the inner healing basics, there is a teaching on bitterness. It's on the series back there. It's on the web. Karen taught it on the web. And the key about, I'm going to read one scripture here about bitterness real quickly. Hebrews 12:15, and there's other scriptures, but this is the one I'm really going to just go over really quickly, and then we're going to pray and know that we had church. Amen? Oh, this is so cool. It goes along with everything we just said. Ha, ha, ha. All right. Hebrews 12:1, quick. Therefore, having a great cloud of witness laying around us, having laid aside every weight and easily surrounding sin. In other words, God wants us to let go of those heavy things that pull us down and the sin. Through patience, let us run the race set before us, looking to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. No wonder he doesn't want us to shame anybody. Amen? They completely shamed him. They called him false. They said he wasn't really God. They lied about what he did. They tore off his clothes. They put thorns on his head. They mocked him. They laughed at him. They put him on a cross, basically naked, in front of the whole town. They purposely put the crosses at the roads. I don't know if you know this. When I went to Israel, I learned this. They put the crosses right at the edge of the road, the highway, so everybody going through would see you hanging there for days. It was like to publicly, completely disgrace you. Now, Jesus, we know, didn't stay on the cross for days because of Passover coming and all those things. Amen. But that was the idea behind the cross. The cross was something to totally, totally torment you, torture you, but also shame you. All right? So Jesus, the joy set before him was having fellowship with us, guys. That was the joy. That's what kept him going. That's what kept him going. When I get through this, the Father and I will have relationship with the people we create in our image and likeness. The Father and I will have, and the Holy Spirit himself will live in them, and we will be one forever. They will be mine. Wow. That's it, guys. That's what he wanted. He didn't want your works. He didn't want your religion. He didn't want blah, blah, blah. He didn't want to be your judge. He wanted you. You are the joy that was set before him. That's why relationship is so important. Don't let the enemy steal relationships. Get healed so you can have relationships. Amen. Your cell phone and Facebook will never take the place of real relationships. Amen? It doesn't even take the place of going out to eat with people together, having people over to your house. We need to raise this younger generation to be able to have really communications with one another and not little texts back and forth and somehow being so self-absorbed that that's their life of relationship. Amen? They're missing out on what we're really created for. All right. He says, for consider him who endured such lies of sinners against himself that you do not grow weary, fainting in your souls. You did not resist unto blood, wrestling against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which he speaks with you as sons. He says, my sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor faint while being corrected by him. It's funny, because all this stuff we talked about tonight without trying to. Huh. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. How many are greatly loved? Come here on Tuesday nights enough, and you too will know that you're greatly loved. Amen? For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and whips every son whom he receives. How many have felt a few whippings? Whippings is God's way of really hitting your heart to say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, that is just so horrible. God, please forgive me. That's brokenness. Amen? That's what he's looking for. He's looking for us to let go of all the guards, all the weaponry, all the lies, and deal with us. God wants to deal with us face to face, get it very raw, so he can set us free. Amen? I'm so glad he separates me from the sin that's in me. See, he's already separated you from it. He just wants to pull it out now. And if you still identify with it or hide it, he can't get to it. So we just go, get it, get it. Everybody's like, jump in the trunk, God, and get it all. Just get it. All right. But if you are without discipline, of which all have become sharers, then you are, mine has a bad word, so I'll say illegitimate. And not sons. Can I say something with this? We need to stop this trend of single moms who never get married. It is totally a place where God can forgive. Amen? Everybody knows that. It is a place where he can heal. You need to make sure that your sons and your daughters know that this is not acceptable. I mean, it's in scripture. He's using it here. That God is not the kind of father that doesn't want to be there. God is not the kind of father that he doesn't want to be there. And let me say this, because everybody says something about the women. Well, then thank God if they at least carry the babies. Praise God for that. Amen. What about the men who are not there to make sure these kids don't feel like they're illegitimate? What about making it right? Amen. See, when God says a statement like this in Scripture, he's showing you this is an area where the enemy really hurts. Because when there's not a father disciplining and correcting in love, and let me go further, divorce should not be something we get so easily. Amen? God has set this up for a father to discipline and correct their children. And our culture has totally destroyed everything of how God does things. And let me say this. When we destroy everything of how God does things, the world just keeps getting darker and darker. And to be honest, I can't believe this. They can keep yelling, there's an awakening, there's an outpouring. I've been hearing this for 25 years. We need to quit futurizing it and basically acting like we're waiting on God. How many know he said the harvest is ready? We are not waiting on God. God is waiting on us. God is waiting on us to repent. He's waiting on us to sanctify our hearts by his Spirit. He's waiting on us to be broken by his Spirit so that we can be carriers of his love and not judges. Amen? I do believe he's going to pour out, but I don't think it's going to be what everybody's thinking. Amen? He's going to make a people holy who have gotten the logs out of their eye so they can go and get splinters out. Hopefully the life groups should be somebody who's gotten some logs out of their eye now helping you with splinters. That's what it should be. That's what it should be. Amen? That's what ministry should be. That's what Tuesday night should be. Amen? That's why you guys know I'm pretty transparent, right? I mean, you don't even have to guess or whisper, okay? I've already told you everything. Okay, and if you haven't been here long, go buy, get all the CDs on iPad, and you'll hear everything. And there's nothing really big and horrible and scary. Amen. I've been saved since I was 7. Furthermore, indeed, we have had fathers of our flesh as correctors, and we respected them. That's a whole teaching. If you don't respect your father because he didn't correct you correctly, then you need to get rid of bitterness and get healed, okay? And we don't have time to do all that tonight, but we're talking about, I'm sure there's teaching on it. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they truly, the natural fathers truly discipline us for a few days according to the thing that seemed good to them. But he, God, for our profit. And now here's why God disciplines us. Here it is. God disciplines us for our profit that we can partake of his holiness. So when you hear people say you're already holy when you get saved, tell them to go read the scripture and recognize they're wrong. I'm righteous when I'm saved. Okay? Righteous means I'm in right standing with God. And as long as I hang out with God, obey God, read his word, and go on this journey, I stay righteous. If I walk into blatant sin and rebellion, I am not still righteous. Amen? Do y'all get that? So righteousness is being, I'm in right standing with God. The only reason we're in right standing with God when we get saved is because Jesus died for the sin. It's not because we've even changed. It's the beginning of I can now change. Amen? It's the beginning of I can now change. Because then it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, right? And at this point, it begins to talk about yielding to the sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, and the power of the word to divide even the spirit from the soul. Amen? Why doesn't people teach this much? Maybe they are. Maybe they're just not on TV and radio. Amen? I mean, there's so much in here to teach. I don't understand making stuff up. Write a book on something that's hardly even in here. Soon everybody quit writing books and get everybody to read this one. Amen? All right, got to get that off. All discipline for the present does not seem to be joyous, but it's grievous. But afterward, it gives peaceable fruit of righteousness to the ones having been exercised by it. And come on, as a parent, if you do this right, led by the Spirit of God, you will like your children when they grow up. And they'll be respectable people. Now, I'm not saying if your kid, but most, if your kid didn't turn out like that, you probably really ought to ask God, give me some indicator of where I need to repent and change things and make change things right. Amen? Doesn't mean it was intentional that you messed up your kid. Amen? It'd be really sad if it was intentional. Wouldn't that be sad? But everything starts with repentance, and Lord, show me what to do. And he does. All right. Because of this, straighten the hands hanging down low and the feeble knees. Make straight the tracks for your feet, that the lame may not be turned aside, but rather that we get healed. Here we go. Eagerly. How much? Eagerly. Pursue, which means go after peace and holiness with all, without which no one will see the Lord. To see the Lord and have visions of the Lord and walk with the Lord, you have to have peace. You have to be walking in peace, not torment, peace, and holiness. Clean hands and pure heart, amen? All right. Watching diligently. Now this is a really, Hebrews 12:14 is really important because it uses the word eagerly and diligently. Those are the kind of words you use when you want people to really get it, all right? Watching diligently that not any of you lack God's grace. So that no root of bitterness can grow up inside of you and crowd in on you and then defile many. There's another scripture. There's only two, if you study this, I know people do inner healing things, they say other things, but biblically speaking, there's only two roots of evil. The love of money, which is the idolatry of money, looking to money. We got tons of teaching on that, and bitterness. Bitterness is a anger with God. It's a poison that goes in. Now, you don't think it's with God. That's why people can't get to the root. But everybody, even atheists, will really go back and say, whoever set all this up messed up. Amen? And so you have to, because, okay, let's say you were abused by your father. And it could be horrific abuse, okay? And you say, well, I'm bitter against my father. I can't forgive my father. No, the reason you can't really get free is because deep under that lie is, why did you give me this father, God? Why was I born this color, God? Why was I born this gender, God? Why did you let this happen to me? Why did you let our marriage fall apart? Do you understand what I'm saying? All bitterness really goes to God. And that's why it's a root. And it defiles many, which means if you have bitterness in you, you will teach wrong. You will present God wrong. You will see relationships wrong. That bitterness will destroy every part of your life. Amen? And so when I was doing the inner healing today, and then I'm going to let you guys go. When I was doing the inner healing today, you know, for the gallbladder thing I was talking about, I saw in the spirit this person, like when the gallbladder was removed, and it was like all the people, you know, the things the people had done to hurt this person that she couldn't let go of. She couldn't really forgive. She couldn't really let go of. And so take each of those people that God brings to your remembrance, and she was able to see it, and you need to bring them up, and you need to really, like they're little people, and you say, you know what? God, I forgive my father. You know, he didn't know the spirit that was influencing him. And Lord, I don't know what happened to him in his childhood to make him like this, whether it make him leave me, make him an alcoholic, make him whatever. And let me say this. People hear my teaching and they think, my parents weren't all these things, okay? When I say that Jesus, Paul says, become like all people that they might get saved. That saved means healed, delivered, and set free. Amen? So when I minister, I'm not trying to, but Holy Spirit causes me to become like all people that I will touch on somebody's real need, and in that place they can understand and relate and get free. Amen. I just say, because man, if all this stuff I ever say happened to me, and most of it didn't happen to me, amen, but it happened to the Lord on the cross, amen. So he has compassion for it, amen. And then I've met somebody who's had all, I've met people who've had almost everything happen to them, amen. And so God wants us as one body to really have compassion for each other, amen. I just see this with people, I'm saying, because people are like, wow, did that happen to her? And it doesn't matter what happened to me or didn't happen to me, amen? But truthfully, I had a pretty good childhood. God. But a lot of people didn't. So you need to take, even if you had a great childhood, there's still people a lot of you are angry with or upset with. And what you don't realize, kind of see that little person. And aren't they so cute? They can't hurt you anymore because they're a little person. And they've got those, like, roots, you know. That root goes back to God. Like, oh, I misunderstand God because of what my father did. Oh, I misunderstand God because of what my mother said or how she said it. Oh, I misunderstand God because of what my pastor said. I misunderstand God because that teacher humiliated me, that ex-husband, the child. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's that weight on it. There's that weight on it that keeps them tied to you. No matter how much you forgive them, you can't let go. Well, that's because you don't understand bitterness. Amen? You need to go deeper and ask God to forgive you for blaming him. Lord, I didn't understand your ways. You did everything possible for me to walk in total victory when you died on the cross and you sent your spirit. And then you said, it's finished. And it doesn't matter at what point in my life I get that revelation. That at that point, I get that revelation. I can be completely healed from every area of my life where I didn't walk out that revelation. Amen? Isn't that awesome? I can be healed for what happened so long ago, for real. And then how do you know when bitterness is gone? You don't really think about it anymore. Not like you're trying not to. Like if I had gotten bitter about Lauren dying, my daughter, I wouldn't talk about it the way I do. Amen? You know, I mean, if I was messed up, I could try to get a bunch of sympathy and stuff, you know, or I could, you know, judge it. You know what I'm saying? But truthfully, and you can tell in your own life when it doesn't bother you anymore. And while it still bothers you, there's still root of bitterness there. Amen? And keep going after it. And this isn't like a contest. This isn't like, ooh, who can get rid of all the bitterness soon? We haven't all gone through the same things. To be honest, if someone was molested by somebody touching them inappropriately compared to somebody who was brutalized by their own father on a regular basis, those are, we all label everything the same. Those are two, one wound is a lot deeper than the other wound, right? So we're not to judge. God's the one who knows all that. And what people have to take on to handle something is different. If somebody's beaten and raped and all these things happening, they may have to take on a lot of different coping mechanisms without knowing God and how to do it than somebody who gets scared at something. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God says, don't compare these. I preach them all the same because truthfully, the answer is the same. Amen? But I do know, and compassion knows, that some people have gone through things that it's just such amazing God's grace that he can heal you. Such merciful God that he took care of dealing with you before this ever happened so he could heal you. And that's compassion, amen? Compassion changes. People have been hurt the most. Honest to goodness, if they find God, they love the most. Jesus even says it. Amen? God has this kind of way of doing things that makes everything so fair. It's amazing. Oh, you were the worst sinner? Good. You have an opportunity to be the most. You messed up more than anybody else? Great. You have a great opportunity to love more than anybody else. What a God. Amen. Well, the devil beat the tar out of you the most? Hey, you're going to be the one who glorifies me the most. Woohoo! Amen. Yay, God. Not that I want everybody to say, I'm really glad I didn't have a great life. You know, I want my children to have a great life. Amen. God wants us all to have a great life. But isn't it awesome that he's bigger than what doesn't go right and he turns it for his glory? How it can't get any better than that. It can't get better than a God who takes what's meant for evil and makes it for our good. It gets no better than that. Satan can't win if you get that. Satan can't win. How can he win if whatever he does, if you turn to God, God's going to make it awesome for God's glory? God has this thing. If my kids get this, Satan's going to wish he never touched one of them. We want to get Satan where he's afraid to touch anybody. Make him afraid to touch anybody. This is going to come back and kick me upside the head. You are so right, devil. Amen? Goes on to say, eagerly pursue peace, holiness with all. Without, no one will be able to see the Lord. Watching diligently that not any lack from the grace of God. Grace, we have a teaching on this. You ought to get it. Grace is God's supernatural. What is it? Grace is his unmerited favor. Who made that up? Unmerited favor. I don't deserve it. Telling me I don't deserve something doesn't tell me what it is. Right? You don't deserve it. I don't even know what it is. You're giving me a definition that says I don't deserve it. That's not telling me what it is. What is it that I don't deserve? That's what grace is. Amen? Grace is God's supernatural empowerment to do everything you to do, everything he's called you to do. It's his empowerment to overcome everything. It's his empowerment to walk with him. It's his empowerment to be a person that God lives inside of. Grace is way more than unmerited favor. Where do they make that up? I'm not trying to, I'm just, do you see where Satan likes to take things and make them nothing? Not that yes, I can't earn it. I can't deserve it, but I need to know what it is. So when I see a scripture that says that God wants to pour out his grace, can I tell you a really powerful prayer? Grace. God, give me grace. I don't care what you're going through. Stop and scream for grace. Amen. Grace is God's empowerment. It's his spirit going, we can do this. Ha. I'm here. You can do all things through me, says the Lord, who strengthens you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper, little girlfriend. Let's go. You know, it's like, come on, God. Whoa. Yes. Ha. Woo-hoo. God's in here. Ha, ha. Whatever you do, it's going to turn for good for God. Now, don't tempt the devil and say, take his best shot, because while you're up on the down on the floor, we don't want to send a whole team over to help you get up. Amen? But we will. But it's about recognizing whatever I'm going through, whatever's coming against me, I need to stop and ask God for grace. Where I can't get grace is an area where I still have whatever is trying to attack me. That's why, isn't it cool to get bully out? Isn't it cool to get victim out? So that there's more place for grace. Amen.